Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Ron's been talking about conversion and what's all involved in conversion. And tonight I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, where he plays a role in the conversion of one's soul. Look, if you would, at verse 1 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Here's how I preached to you. It wasn't from my doings. It wasn't from my ability. But how?" Verse 2. "For I determined not to know anything among you except" what, class? Except what? "Jesus Christ and him crucified." That ought to be the desire of every gospel preacher. "And I was in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not persuasive words of human wisdom, but a demonstration of the" what? Y'all with me? Have I lost you already? You just started. "Demonstration of" what? "The Spirit." Okay. "The Spirit and of the power. And your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but the power of the spiritual wisdom of God," spiritual wisdom. "However," verse 6, "we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet those yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." There was a mystery all through the Bible. Anybody know what the mystery is before we go any further? I'd like to know what the mystery was. What mystery is he talking about? There was something going on that nobody, even the prophets, didn't know about it. They may have talked about it, but didn't know what they were talking about. What was the mystery? Well, it was the coming of Christ. That wasn't a mystery. It was the fact that God would save both Jews and Gentiles. That's the great mystery. That you talk about reconciliation. That's the big deal. How that God would reconcile man back to himself. "Wisdom in the mystery, and hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." Verse 8, "which none of the rulers of this age knew. For they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, an eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for those that love him. But God has revealed them to us," what does it say, class? Through his Spirit. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit. We talk about the Holy Spirit. It's part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Spirit is always masculine. You know, I've heard people, "Do you have it?" Mean the Spirit? No, you don't have it. It's not masculine. It's neuter. But in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is always masculine. Now, and I don't call him the Holy Ghost either. In 1611, when the King James Bible was being written back in England, what did they translated? What did they have in those castles in England that rattled the chains and walked on the ceiling? What was that? Ghost. And so when they got to the Holy Spirit, they said, "What is this? We can't define it. It's kind of like a ghost." And so that's where the term Holy Ghost came from. It's really a bad term. The Holy Spirit, he's always masculine, and he's not a ghost, okay? In fact, they claim Christ, we'll get to that a little bit later, they claim Christ to be a ghost too after his resurrection. We'll talk about that. Verse 9, "but it's written, an eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor in the heart of man the things which God prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of God except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit," capital S, "of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of him who is from God, that we might know the things and have freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing the spiritual with the spiritual. But the natural man, verse 14, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolish to him, nor can he know because they are spiritually discerned. But we who is spiritual judging all things, yet himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Just before Jesus ascended back to heaven, after his life, after his 3 years of ministry, 3.5 years, after his death upon the cross, after his resurrection, after the 40 days he saw all men, he was going to ascend back to heaven, and said in John chapter 14, let's start verse 25, John 14, 25. These things have I spoken to you while I was present with you, but the helper, your version say helper, it may say comforter, it's the Holy Spirit. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you what? All things. The Spirit's then going to be able to teach. Did the apostles, had they gotten it yet? Did they understand about Jesus and his kingdom would not be an earthly kingdom? Did they understand that Jesus came and the tabernacle was destroyed, was his body and rebuilt in 3 days? Did they understand all that yet? No or no? Absolutely not. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, will come and he will guide you. He will instruct you. He will help you to know what these things meant. The last question the apostles asked Jesus just before he ascends back to heaven. That's pretty important, isn't it? Last thing. You know, they've talked with him. They've walked with him. They've asked him questions and some other things. We don't even know what they talked about because it's not written. But then the last question, you know what it was? Are you at this time going to restore the temple? The kingdom, I think is what he said. What? I've been talking to you the whole time. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Did Jesus, in fact, establish his spiritual kingdom, class? Yes or yes? Absolutely. And what is Jesus' spiritual kingdom? It's the church. And who reigns the spiritual king of the church? Jesus. And who does the church belong to? Jesus. And who do we worship? Jesus. Right? That's what he came to do. He's not coming back to it. If he wanted to establish a kingdom, he could have. In fact, the book says he could have called 10,000 angels on the cross. Could you? The Romans didn't have the authority, didn't have the power to destroy Jesus on a cross. If he had not willed himself to be hung on a cross, he would not have been hung on a cross. And in my mind, I can just see when Jesus hanging by his hands and his feet on the cross, angels in heaven saying, Lord, can we go? Let us go down there. Let's wipe these folks out. Please. Just say the word, and we're there. But because of our sins and your sins, he died for us, shed his blood, and went through the entire thing, the death of the cross for us. The disciples didn't get it. In fact, after his resurrection, they really had trouble believing, didn't they? Did Mary recognize him at the tomb, third day? Not right off the bat. Not until they called her name. He said, you go back and tell him I'm risen. And go, be sure and tell Peter, the one that denied me 3 times. Tell him I'm risen. So they had a real problem doing that. Okay, I didn't mean to get off on that. But I started preaching. All right. Verse 25. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the from the Father, will send us in my name and will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said. Peace I live with you, peace I give to you. Not as the world gives peace, I give you. But let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I say I'm going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before as it comes, that it does not come to pass, you may believe, I will no longer talk to you, with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has come to nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandments, I do, and so arise, and let's go from here. He's going to guide you. He's going to teach you. Another word that could be used for the Holy Spirit, and maybe I shouldn't say this in mixed company, but I'm going to say it anyway, lawyer. Lawyer. And what does a lawyer do? Don't say make money. What does a lawyer do?
Represents his client.
He represents the person there. In fact, he stands beside the person. When you go to court, and the judge says, what's your plea? And the defendant stands up, who stands up beside him, and most time tells what the plea is. It's the lawyer. Jesus is our lawyer. He's our plea giver. When you talk to God, the Father, and hope you do that, who do you talk through? It's Jesus. He says, no man come to the Father but what? But by me or through me. So we say, in the prayer a minute ago, I said, in Jesus' name. What am I saying? Jesus, here's my prayer. Will you give that to the Father? Have you ever wanted to pray and couldn't pray? Ever wanted to say something because on your heart was so heavy and you needed something? I really need to get this, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't even want to say. That's where the Holy Spirit steps in and helps us with our prayers. In fact, he calls it groanings. It's not the Holy Spirit groaning, it's us groaning. I just don't have the words, and groaning within ourselves. Well, the Spirit then will help us. Let's go on a little bit further. But what does the Holy Spirit do? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's start with verse 19. It's a good verse to mark in your Bible if you got your Bibles. Or you're wherever you're looking at it. Verse 19. And so we have the prophecy, prophetic word, confirmed, which you do well to heed as the light that shines in dark places until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Check out verse 20. Knowing this, first of all, no prophecy, no Bible. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote, it wasn't just some good religious men writing about their experiences with Jesus. It wasn't just that. It wasn't just holy men of God. But look what he said. He says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were, what's the word? Moved by Holy Spirit. This is the word of God. Not just some good men writing about good things and asking us to behave ourselves. This is God talking to us today. Isn't that right? Yes or yes? Yes. Yeah. That's why it's the Holy Bible. That's why it's a holy book. Because a holy man of God spake as they were. And the word there really is plenty, but it's breathed upon. They were, God breathed upon them and they wrote. I don't believe the thought was inspired. I've got a good thought, so let me write something. I don't believe that's what happened. I don't even believe the paragraph's inspired. But every word is inspired of God. Now, I realize there's some statements here from the devil It's inspired that he wrote it, but the fact what he said was not inspired. I understand that. But the Word of God is inspired Word. God breathed Word. So when we're told to do something in it, we ought to do it. Why? It's God telling me what to do. It's inspired Word of God. So they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Where'd the Bible come from? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Bible. It's interesting, the Bible was written over 1,500 years. Over 40 different writers. People living in different parts of the world. And yet when the canon came together, decided this is what it'll be, is perfect harmony. You and I could watch a wreck out here on Atlanta Highway, and we could do that easy. I mean, we could go out there and do it right now probably, because there was two I know today. And would come back and I said, everybody get your pencil and paper out and let's write down exactly what you saw. We want to know whose fault it was. You know what we'd have? Ever how many, 80 people, 100 people, would have 80 different eyewitnesses. Well, somebody's lying. No. Would have, because your perspective, you can't stand where I'm standing. You can't see what I'm seeing. I saw it a little bit different way. It was that car did this, and because it's a different perspective. And yet here are 40 writers, over 1,500 years writing, and the perspective is all the same. Well, that's just that's really nice. No, it's inspired of God. If there's anything that proves the Bible to be inspired of God, it's the fact of how it was written, who wrote it, and how it came to be what we call the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. If I had a board behind me and I drew a large circle, great big circle, and I'd tell you that circle is God, okay? If I said point to God, you'd point to the circle. And I divided that circle in three different compartments, equal. And I said, this is God the Father, this is God the Son, this is God the Holy Spirit. Now point to God. That's the circle. But there's God the Father, the Son, and they do different things, and they're apart. All of them have power, all of them omnipotent, all that, but it's different. Who came to earth? God the Son. I tell you what, Matthew chapter 3. Turn over to Matthew 3 if you would. The latter part of Matthew 3, John the Baptizer baptizing people at the Jordan River. And Jesus comes down to be baptized of John, not because he has sin, but to fulfill all righteousness. He said, John, won't you baptize me? And John said, no. I'm not worthy to untie your shoes, let alone baptize you. But Jesus says, suffer it, King James, allow it to be done. So John the baptizer baptizes Jesus, immerses Jesus in what water? What was it? What water was it? What water? The Jordan. And when he comes up out of the water, who's being baptized? God the Son. When he comes up out of the water, the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, comes down in the form of a dove and lights upon him. God the Son, God the Spirit. And then the voice out of heaven, God the Father, says, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. See it? Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Y'all know that verse. Verse 2. And the what? And the Spirit of God. You see that? Holy Spirit's in the creation here. And the Spirit of God moved across the waters. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when you and I pray to God the Father, We pray through his Son because he's paid the price that we may have entrance to him. In fact, and don't get off on this, but Jesus is our high priest. We're priests of God, Peter says. But the high priest is Christ Jesus. So we talk to God through Jesus Christ. All right. We see Jesus' birth in Matthew chapter 1. Listen to this, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ is follows on this wise. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, had sex, she was found with what? With child of, anybody help me? Holy Spirit. I don't know how that worked. I just know it worked. She had not, it wasn't Joseph's baby. Holy Spirit. And how he did that, it's fine with me that he did it. That's all I know. And how, I don't know. But there's the Holy Spirit involved in the very birth of Jesus Christ. So Jesus had the Spirit without measure. Okay, look at Luke 24, if you would. Luke chapter 24. I think I wrote that down. Jesus appears to his disciples. And let's go to about verse 36, I think. Now, as he said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace to you," but they were terrified. Now, he'd been with them for 3.5 years. Why were they terrified? Well, they saw him die on a cross. They knew he was buried, and now he's risen. Frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. You see that? Verse 37. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet." What's the big deal about his hands and feet? Nail scars. Yeah, nails. You ever stuck yourself with a nail? It healed right away? Well, there may be a scab or something, but it hadn't healed. It's only been 3 or 4 days. He said, "Come feel me." Look what he said. "Why do you doubt in your heart?" Verse 39. "Behold my hands and my feet. That is, I myself. Handle me. See, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you have seen." Have you heard there's going to be a great banquet in heaven? I've heard it's going to be a baseball team. I heard even Auburn's going to win. I don't know about the football team, but folks, it's not going to be that way. You know what? Spirits don't eat. I know I love to eat. Y'all can look at me and say all that. But spirits don't eat. It's not going to be a banquet. Well, what are we doing in heaven? Well, one thing, singing, praising God, glorifying him, doing whatever the angels do, I guess. But it's not going to be sitting down and, you know, I'll have a nice car and, you know, you'll have a nice house. Mansions, the word mansion that we see, even many mansions in heaven, the word there's rooms. I don't know if all of heaven going to be. I know it's going to be wonderful, going to be beautiful. Song says how beautiful heaven must be. But we compare it with earthly things, I guess, because that's all we've got. But it's not going to be an earthly paradise. It's going to be a heavenly paradise. But Jesus says, "Come feel, handle me and see, for spirit does not have flesh and blood as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. I would say still mangled. One of the things on the cross, in fact, they'd use ropes to tie the hands to the cross beam. is so they wouldn't pull themselves loose. And one of the real problems of being on a cross was not the nails, but the fact you can't breathe. How long can you hold your arms out like this? I can get a breath, but put them up like this and hang and let all that body weight come in. Your breath go, you suffocate. The fluids in the body build up. You just drowned. That's what usually took their lives. Because if you remember, they came to break his legs. No bones were broken, by the way. They came to break Jesus' legs, and he was what? Already dead. Because it's prophesied, no bones were broken. But the traditional way was, prisoner on the cross, before nightfall comes, break our legs, and they'll fall down, and they'll die because they can't get their breath. And he said, handle me, touch me, feel me. But while they did not believe for joy, he marveled and said to them, have you any food? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. He took it and ate it in their presence. Why do you do that? You only got a little bit of time here, Jesus. You're going to spend it eating? Why do you eat in front of them? In fact, John talks about they'd gone back fishing. If you remember what they're going to do, and Peter said, I'm going to go back fishing. They all went back fishing. And there was a man on the beach cooking or frying fish. No, it wasn't catfish, but frying fish. Who was that? Who was that cooking? It was Jesus, yeah. Why would he do that? Why would he eat with them? Why here? Why would he ask for food? Because spirits do not eat. And I'm not a spirit. I'm a man. I'm back. I'm resurrected. I'm resurrected whole. I'm a man, not a spirit. There may be some difference in him. Being dead 3 days, would the body changes in immediately. You know, I work at the funeral home, and it's amazing what can take place in just a short period of time with the body and the process it goes through and all that. So I imagine some of that he probably did. But his body did not decay. Acts 2, Luke 24. Why? He's going to use it again. So something was different about him, but he wanted to prove to them. Now remember, on that first resurrection, after the first meeting of the apostles, now Judas is dead. Who else didn't show up to church that first Sunday? Thomas. What do we call Thomas? Next Sunday, they all show up. Of course, Judas is still gone. And Thomas is there. And the Lord said, come here, Thomas. Take your finger, Thomas, and feel my hands. Take your hand and feel my side where the spear went in. And what did Thomas say? My Lord and my God. And listen to Jesus. Blessed are you, Thomas, for you have seen and you felt. Blessed are they, that's us in this class, who've never seen, never felt, never touched him, yet what, class? Believe. That's me. That's me. Didn't see him, didn't touch him, didn't see the nail prints, didn't feel his side, didn't see his feet, but I believe he went to the cross, died on that cross, just exactly like the Holy Spirit told me in his word he did. So, the Holy Spirit then gives us this word to give us faith that we might believe in Jesus and in his way and in his will. Verse 44. Then all the words which I spoke to you, I was still with you, these things be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me, and opening their understanding, they might comprehend the scriptures. Verse 45. Then he said to them, thus it's written, thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance, remission of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise. You see the word promise? What's the promise? That's the Holy Spirit of my Father upon you, tarrying to stay in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed with power on high. So that was the last commandments of Jesus before he ascends back to heaven in Luke 24. All right. If I was putting the Bible together, I would put the book of, I'd say, Matthew, Mark, John, Luke. What's the next book? Acts. Because when you read Luke 24 and you read Acts chapter 1, that's a continuation, isn't it? Who wrote Luke, by the way? What's his name, the author of Luke? Anybody got that? Luke. Who wrote Acts? Luke. So it's a continuation. So in Luke 24, he ascends back to heaven. In Acts chapter 1, he's ascending back to heaven. And that begins the process from Luke 24. Did I get 30 minutes? Is it 7 or quit or 7:30? I'm not done. Sorry. Huh? 7:50. Okay, I got to hurry then. Acts 2, he says, go back in the city of Jerusalem until you, Luke 24, until you receive power up on high. Acts 1, day of Pentecost fully come, is chapter 2. They were all one accord, one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. It was a rushing mighty wind. It wasn't a rushing mighty wind, it just sounded like it. And there appeared in them with cloven tongues, set it as fire. It wasn't fire, but it looked like fire. And they began to speak with other languages, other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. What's happening to the apostles? What's happening? The Holy Spirit's coming, just like he said would come in Luke 24, 40 days before. He said, his coming, you'll receive with power. He called it the promise or power. So they began to speak with other tongues, and some said, this is wonderful. Others said, they're drunk. Peter stands up and said, we're not drunk. It's too early in the morning to be drunk. But this is what was prophesied by Joel and by David. David prophesied about the coming of Jesus, that his body would not see corruption, decay, that he would not leave his soul in Hades, that's the grave, other seem round. And this is what he said. And so he then began to preach the sermon that you've killed Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, when they heard this, hadn't come to mind before, they realized the man that we crucified some 40 days ago, 50 days ago now, was Jesus the Christ. In fact, didn't the centurion say that? Remember the centurion guarding Jesus at the cross? He said, truly this was the Son of God. And so they realized that was the Son of God. That's Jesus we killed. Now, what can we do about it? Men and brethren, what can we do about it? He said, repent, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38. So that day, about 3,000 souls were baptized. How many were baptized that day? And the Bible says about, what's the exact number? The exact number. I've told you before. It says, all that gladly received the word were baptized. How many were not baptized that day? All that were there that did not gladly receive. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? All that gladly received, about 3,000. And so they rejoiced and there were 3,000. The Holy Spirit continues to be given to those who have been baptized. Spiritual gifts are given. Spiritual gifts cause another problem. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 about spiritual gifts. In chapter 12, he names the 12 spiritual gifts. They thought, somebody in the church thought, if you could speak in unknown tongues, now unknown to the speaker, not to the hearer, if you could speak in a language you've never studied, you were the greatest of the great. That's you're the super saint. And he says, no, that's not true. He says, the greatest gift of all is what? Chapter 13. Love. Yeah. He said, if you really want to have a great gift, have the gift of love. That's the one. But he said, well, let's just read him. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's just take a minute to read that. Though I speak the tongue of men and angels, that's spiritual gift, have not love, I become as what? Clashing cymbal or sounding gong. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mystery, I do spiritual gifts. Have all faith that I can remove a mountain. Can you imagine having that kind of faith? And have not love, it profit me. And though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me what, class? Nothing. Everything you can do without love. Love's got to be the motivation. If it's not motivated by love, it's nothing. And then he says, here's what love is. Love is kind. Love's considerate. Love envieth not, does not vaunt itself up, not puffed up, does not save itself unseemly, seeks not its own, rejoices not in iniquity, rejoices in the truth, bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Prophecies will fail. Tongues will cease. Knowledge will be done away with. All those are spiritual gifts. He said none of those count. But love continues on. Now, by the faith, love, hope, these three, but the greatest is love. Paul says there's coming a time when the spiritual gifts will end. He says it's coming when the perfect has come. When that which is perfect has come, that which is in part, spiritual gifts, will be done away. Well, what were the spiritual gifts? Well, he just named them. He named them in chapter 12. He named them in chapter 13. He said the perfect, well, that's Jesus Christ. He's the only perfect, isn't he? No, he'd already come. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13, Jesus had come, died, ascended back to heaven. Church had been established. So it wasn't Jesus. What was it? The perfect revelation of God's word. When the perfect revelation of God's word comes, and all everything else you see, they're not needed. Because the spiritual gifts were given to Christians like us to prove that they were from God. When a man spoke, he spoke in language he never studied before, well, that told everybody, listen, I'm speaking from God. Now, if you read 1 Corinthians 14, especially about King James says unknown tongues. That's unfortunately translated that. Unknown languages. Unknown to the speaker, not to the hearer. He said if two or three want to have a prophecy and they all, it hits them all at one time, you know, I want to say something. He said, let one speak and then maybe two at the most, and then there must be a what? An interpreter. Otherwise, it's just babbling in the air. You don't understand. So he also says that the spirit is subject to the person who has the spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit didn't come and you just start bursting out because you couldn't contain it. No, he says the spirit's subject to those who have it. Well, anyway, wish I had more time because it's an interesting subject. I hope I hadn't messed your mind up too much with the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank God that he gave us the New Testament, that he gave us the Holy Word. He gave us the Old Testament. All holy men of God spake as they were moved by God. And it's through God's Word how we're saved, as we read it, believe it, and obey it. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us. Thank you for, in your wisdom, giving us your Word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father, which guided men of old to write the Bible, that we might read it, study it, learn it, and obey it. Be with us tonight, Father, we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you for letting me be part. Next Wednesday night, we'll talk about another area, and my mind's gone completely blank, but I know what it's going to be, but I don't remember it. We'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow, next Wednesday night. If you have questions about the Holy Spirit, bring them up to me, and we'll talk about them a little bit next Wednesday night, Lord willing.